Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Amen. All right, well, I am going to have to try to shorten this word this morning, hopefully to about a half hour. I'll try to get in what I need to get in this morning. First of all, I want to say, I want to thank everybody who came to the back-to-school breakfast yesterday for the Rising, and we gave 31 kids school supplies, and we're giving the rest of the school supplies to a ministry in Camden. Want to thank you for coming. Thank everybody who sold tickets and who came. We want to give a special shout out to the Boys and Girls Club of Camden, who this past week, where Guy still works, this past week donated 14 really nice backpacks to the cause, and we want to thank them for participating in our outreach. Amen? Amen. And don't forget, as was mentioned in the announcements, that we will be having a luncheon following the service. As soon as we close the service, I'll just let you know what time. I think we're going to make it 10 minutes after we close instead of 15, since we're running a little bit late here. Amen? Well, we're going to continue, church, this morning with our September theme, which is Vision and Leadership. And again, as was mentioned in the announcements, that theme will culminate on the weekend of September 28th and 29th with our leadership weekend with Dr. John Williford, and he'll be doing a leadership workshop on Saturday, September 28th. The workshop is from 9 to 12:30. 9 to 9:30 is the continental breakfast, and 9:30 to 12:30 is the workshop. And we want you to sign up today. We need to know how many are coming to this workshop. We'd like you all to come. It's going to be really something special for the Rising. So sign up today in the foyer to my left, and we'll go from there. We're going to continue, as I said this morning, with our September theme. And over the years, I've read myself about 8 or maybe 9 leadership books. And they're all good, and they're all valuable, and I've gleaned so much from those books, especially in the practical sense of leadership. Now, and if I were going to actually write a book on leadership, I would have to include so much of what I have read and gleaned from all of those books. But what I want to share with you this morning, I want to share something with you that you're not going to find in any book. And it's something that has been stirring in me through my studies, and particularly my study in the book of Genesis. So I want to go back this morning to the book of Genesis, and I want to teach a message entitled The Origin of Leadership. The Origin of Leadership. And I have to tell you this, church, and I think I've told you this before, that the book of Genesis is actually my favorite book of the Bible to study. It is the book of beginnings. It's just loaded with beginnings. It is theologically loaded through story and through type and shadow. It contains every major doctrine of the New Testament. It is like Genesis is like it's the embryo. It's the seed of the gospel. It's the seed that includes every major doctrine of the New Testament. Genesis chapters 1 to 3, as much as I've taught out of those chapters, the first teaching I ever did at this church 6-7 years ago was from Genesis chapter 3. And Tony would remember that because that's the first time I met Tony through that teaching. So, and the more I explore those chapters, the more I realize the inexhaustible revelation that is contained in just the first 3 chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapters 1 to 3, It is the absolute foundation for the way we act and relate to one another. It is the foundation for our reflection on human living. It is the foundation to reflect on the human condition and the human heart. It's all there. It's all there in Genesis 1 to 3. And that's why it's inexhaustible. So what I want to do this morning, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to look at one verse in Genesis chapter 1. So let's go there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." So the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us, God says, let us make a species called man. And then he says, let them have our image and our likeness. Now, let's really look closely at these words, image and likeness. Because the word image here is actually a very complicated Hebrew concept, a very complicated Hebrew word. Image means moral and spiritual nature and character. Image means to have the moral and spiritual nature and characteristics of a thing. So when God says, let us make man in our image, what did God have to do? He had to use himself as material. Because the man had to have his nature and his moral and spiritual character. So God couldn't create humans out of the dirt or from gases or from molecules around him. He had to use the material that had his spiritual and moral character and nature, his image. Let us make man in our image. That's why God creates man out of his own spirit. Now, the next statement, church, it says, let us make man in our own image, but he says, let us also make this creature in our likeness. Likeness does not mean to look like God. That's not what likeness means. Watch, likeness means to function like God. And likeness in the Hebrew, it means to function. So God says, let us make a creature, a species that looks like us in nature and characteristics, but also let us make a creature that functions like us. Image and likeness. Now, let me say this about function. If a product doesn't function the way it's designed to function, it is a malfunction. You got that? If a product does not function the way it's designed to function, it is a malfunction. And when you malfunction, you self-destruct. So if God made you and me after his likeness, after the Trinity's likeness, and likeness means to function like God, likeness, we must find out then, how does God function? Because we're after his likeness. We're to function like God, after his likeness. So we must find out, how does God function? One way God functions, it is very obvious to us, is that he functions by faith. The Apostle Paul says, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Church, when you have a vision, the vision we have for the rising, you put that vision out by faith. The vision is the substance of what you're hoping for. But you don't have the evidence yet because it is by faith. It is the evidence of what is not seen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The scripture says, by faith, the world came into existence. God spoke something into existence that was not there. He functions by faith. There are several places in the scripture where it does not say have faith in God. Watch, it says have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. So why? Why does it say that, church? Because that's how God functions. Did you know that God designed us to function from the inside? You were never designed to function from the outside. God never intended for us to live by our five senses. Now, that doesn't mean that your senses can't help you sometimes, but that's why your senses get you in trouble sometimes. Because we can't totally live by what we see. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall function by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are supposed to live from the inside. That is how we're supposed to function, after His likeness. That's why when the Holy Spirit comes to guide you and to teach you, He teaches you from the inside. So God functions by faith. We are after His likeness. We are supposed to function by faith. Church, we come to Christ by faith, don't we? We don't come to Christ by knowledge and information. Romans says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe by faith, have faith, you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So God functions by faith, and we are made after His likeness, and we're meant to function by faith. Now, how does faith operate? How does faith work? The Bible clearly shows us and tells us how faith works. It says faith works by love. Now, I know we think, and I've taught this in the past, I know we think that faith works by formulas and having all your I's dotted and your T's crossed and saying all the right things and making all the right positive confessions. But the Bible clearly tells you that faith works by love. Why? Because God is love. That is His substance. That is His DNA. That is the essence of God. That's why faith works by love, because God is love. He just doesn't have love. He is love. So, if this is how God functions, and we are after His likeness, after His function, so if that's how God functions, watch. So we know as human beings, we cannot function if we have hatred. Any human that has bitterness and rage and hatred and malice and deceit, all the things that are opposite to love, watch, that human malfunctions. That's why the Bible says that bitterness dries up the bones. In other words, bitterness can destroy a person physically. Why? Because they are malfunctioning. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in love. Christ did not leave love as an option to His followers. He said, this is my commandment. This is the new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Why? Because it's for your protection. I want you to function as you were intended to function. As a matter of fact, love is so important for the functioning of the human spirit that God even tells us to love your enemies. That's how important it is for the functioning of the human spirit. Why? Because we function by it, church. You function by love, and your faith works by it. People get, you get all twisted up inside, don't we? When our relationships are messed up, we get all twisted up inside because we're no longer walking in love. On some level, we are malfunctioning. You need love to function. You need it to function. You need to love and to be loved to function. Amen? Because that's how your faith works, by love. Now, how else does God function? How else does God function? If we go back to our verse, we're going to get more out of it. Let's go back to our verse, Genesis 1, 26. It has three references here to God's unique nature. It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay, that is an expression of plurality that proclaims to us right away, right in the beginning, it proclaims to us the core doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinitarian doctrine begins with the creation account when all three persons of the Trinity are present. So when God created the world, it says in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And if you go to the Gospel of John, it describes Jesus as the agent of creation. It says, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So you see that all three are present in creation. You see right from the beginning, watch, this shared leadership in creating, right in the Trinity. You see right from the beginning this idea of community, right from the beginning. So since God himself lives and works in community, that's how he functions. And since we are made in his image and after his likeness, we too are created in and for community. It's how we function. God chose to deposit in us, after his likeness, a distinct kind of DNA. God gave us all a community gene. We are wired after his likeness with a desire for connection and a hunger for togetherness. Even if you've been hurt or wounded, there's still something on the inside of you that desires connection and hungers for togetherness. Regardless of your age, your gender, your race, your temperament, or your past history, part of being human means having a hunger for community. That's how God functions, church. And that's how we are to function in community. Now, let's go back to what I said about the beginning of Genesis, where God is creating the world. Jesus is the agent of that creation. Through him, all things were made. And then the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Now, how are they creating? How are they creating? It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this, because you've got to get this, because this has everything to do with leadership. They create where there is a void. They bring light to darkness. They bring order to chaos. And I want you to notice that they are creating and sharing and creating and doing that creating in the context of community. We just said that God himself lives and works in community. That's how he functions. And we are after his likeness, church, so that's how we function. What are they doing in the context of community? They are creating. That's how they are functioning in the context of community. They are creating. They are after his likeness. So that's how we're supposed to function. Creativity in the context of community. And nothing gives God more pleasure or more delight than when you become creative. Nothing. When we take something that is without form and void and there is darkness and you create and you bring light, heaven gets excited. The Father claps. He says, that's my kids functioning like me. Creating where there's a void, bringing light to darkness, bringing order to chaos, bringing a piece of heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Functioning like we are meant to function creatively with creativity. So let's look at the four things again. Faith, love, community, creativity. That's how God functions. We are after his likeness. So we are meant to function by faith, walking in love, in community, creating within that community. You want to know what a good functioning leader is? It is someone who functions after his likeness. It is someone who lives by faith, who walks in love, who participates in community, and who brings light to darkness and order to chaos and creates within that community. That is a leader. That is a leader. So God created us in his image and after his likeness. Now, I want to go back to the verse. I want to look at the next statement because the next statement is very critical. Let's go back to the verse. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then he said, let them. Them who? Let those who were created in the image and likeness of God, let those who were created to function by faith and love and in community with creativity, let them have dominion. Let them, he created you like him, watch, for dominion. Now, what does the word dominion mean? The word dominion in the Hebrew means to govern, to rule, to lead, to influence, to keep creating, to bring order to chaos. God says, let them have leadership, rulership, governorship, authority, control over, leadership over. Watch the list. Here's the list now. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the field, over all the earth, and in the Hebrew that means everything that grows on the earth, all areas of the earth, everything that is created in the earth, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the ground. I want you to notice that humans are not on this list. Man was given a dominion mandate, watch, but not over one another. What does dominion mean? You see that? What does dominion mean? It means to govern, to rule, to control, to have mastery over, to lead a certain domain or a certain area. When we think of leadership, we think of mastering people, dominating people, controlling people. As a matter of fact, many people who say they are leaders are really controllers. They try to control people, and according to God, human beings are off limit to control. So man was created to have dominion over domains, over areas, over places, but not over people. Now, we're going to see later, in the weeks to come, as we talk about some of the practical things about leadership, that there are authority structures in leadership, watch, that should not be, that shouldn't be usurped. But the authority structures should not be leading by dominating and controlling the people they lead. They should be leading them, watch, by faith, walking in love, participating in community with the people they are leading as spiritual guides and fellow journeyers, and leading with creativity, bringing order to chaos and light to darkness in the area or areas that they influence. Amen? Now, I want to give you a principle of creation. And you should write this down. Whatever God calls for, He provides for. This is a principle of creation. Whatever God calls for, He provides for. In other words, whatever God created something to do, He designed it with the capacity to do it. If God created us to do something or to be something, He designed us with the capacity to do it. If God created birds to fly, then He designed the birds with flight on the inside. That's why birds don't attend flight school. They have flight on the inside. It's built in. Fish were designed by God to swim. So fish never go to swimming class, because swim is built into the fish. Seeds were designed by God to produce trees. A tree does not go to a class on how it grows from a seed. The seed has naturally got a tree on the inside. All it needs, watch, is the right environment. Now let me throw this in. There is value into getting into the right atmosphere and environment where there is teaching and what is in you is being cultivated. Church, a bird cannot fly if you have it locked up in a cage in your house. For some of you, that cage is your job. You were designed to do some great things, but you're trapped on a job like a bird that's restricted in a cage. A fish, really, honestly, was not designed to be in your house in a small little bowl. A fish was designed to be in the ocean to enjoy the unlimited vastness of the sea. And you've got it trapped in a bowl, just like some people are trapped on their jobs. I want to say something right now, but I'm a little afraid to say it. But I'll take a chance and say it. A few of you in here may have been, or some of you in here may have been or are, you may have trapped yourself in a marriage. Because, Ray, you did what the Bible said. You were sober before you got married. The Bible said, that's why the Bible says, be sober before you enter into marriage. That's why it says that. See, because listen, if you're not married, you're in the ocean, baby. You can dream as big as you want, and you can go as far as you want. But sometimes if you get married to the wrong person, they become a birdcage. Now, I would recommend, this is what I would recommend. Can I make a recommendation? Somebody getting happy over here about something. I would recommend before you get married that you talk to the prospective lucky person and you say to them, before we proceed any further, can I please advise you on how high I plan to fly, just in case you have any ideas of building a cage around my life? All right? Hey, I'm an eagle. If you're a pigeon, go somewhere else. All right? Go somewhere else. Pigeons don't fly where eagles fly. If you're a pigeon, go somewhere else. Don't marry a pigeon. A pigeon can't fly where eagles fly. Amen, church? Amen. Let's go back to the principle. Whatever God created something to do, He designed it with the capacity to do it. So when God said, let us create a creature who will have dominion, that's what He's calling for. He's calling for dominion. Whatever God calls for, He provides. Let us create a creature who will have dominion. That means leadership. Who will have leadership, rulership, governorship, mastery over, authority over, influence. Have dominion. A creature that will keep creating and bring order to chaos. We want a creature that can do all those things. That's what God said. Have dominion. So the capacity to do that, watch, is built in us. Just like flight is built into the bird, and just like swim is built into the fish. That's why God had to create you out of His own material, in His image, after His likeness, because you had to possess the spirit of leadership, rulership, governorship, leadership that would keep creating and bring light to darkness and bring order to chaos. Amen? In other words, birds don't become flyers. They're born with it. Fish don't become swimmers. They are born with swim. Watch. They just wait to grow up. Humans don't become rulers or leaders. Now watch. You, in the practical sense, you grow into leadership and become a leader, but the capacity is already there. You are born with it. Humans don't become rulers or leaders. They're born with it. Watch, they just wait for the right season. Ooh, Ecclesiastes says to everything, there is a season. I want to tell you this, for some of you in here, this is your season at the rising. It's time for you to rise. It's time for you to resurrect. It's time for you to experience renewal. And it's time for you to let the leadership flow out of you. It's your time. It's your season. To everything, there is a season. To every purpose, there is a time. In other words, trapped in every one of you right now is a hidden leader. Some of you have been trapped by your environment, your condition. Some of you have been trapped by your culture and all the tradition, all kind of traditions. Some of you have been trapped by people's opinions or by the messages and wounds that you have received growing up. Trapped. And so many folks die So many folks die never leaving the cage of their society. Can I say this to you? Don't you believe that cage you've been put in? Don't you believe it? You can do what the manufacturer says you can do, and anything less is a lie. That's why the devil, church, is the father of lies, because he's afraid to tell you the truth about yourself. He's afraid to tell you the truth about God, and he's afraid to tell you that you're in his image and after his likeness, and you can function like him. He's afraid to tell you that truth.
Yes.
Let me just say something to the older folks here. And you know, and this is also for the younger folks. This is for everybody. You can't let age be a hindrance to the desires and passions God has put in your heart. Age cannot be the factor. It cannot. That hinders your desires and passions. You ought to write this down. Age is no barrier. It is a limitation you put on your mind. Age is no barrier. It's a limitation you put on your mind. Every time you hear that voice, listen, you're too old to do that. You're too old to start that now. You can't go back to school at this age, and that goes for 25 or 65.
Yes.
You can't go back to school at that age. You're too old to start over. Church, age is no barrier. It is a limitation you put on your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Trapped in every one of you is a hidden leader. And I'm definitely not going to finish this today, but I'm going to close with this. Listen to me. Man fell from dominion. Watch. Adam fell from leadership and rulership of the earth. He subjugated the kingdom he was supposed to rule to somebody else. And we know who that somebody else is. He is an unemployed cherub. Lucifer. Who lost his position. Why? Because he did not understand true leadership. Watch. True leadership. Watch this. True leadership is not usurping your authority over your authority. True leadership, watch, is finding your role, and as we talked about, and functioning in that role under the authority that you've been placed under and serving your gift to that authority and vision. That is true leadership. Lucifer decided he was going to be the boss. Now, you know, in this church, there's only one boss, Bruce Springsteen. I'm sorry, I don't like calling God the boss. God is the ultimate authority over everyone, even the boss. But Lucifer wanted to be the boss. Okay? He decided he was going to be the boss, and he got kicked out of heaven, and watch, he came to earth, and he tempts us with the same thing. You can be God. You can function independently of God. You can usurp authority. You can dominate people. We fell, church, from the image of God. We fell from true leadership. And Jesus came to sacrifice himself on the cross to die for our sins, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins on that cross. And he resurrected, church, to give us a new nature and to restore the image of God back to us. He couldn't give us back the image of God, watch, unless he showed us what it looked like. That's why he came in the flesh. The Bible says he is the express image of the invisible God. So he became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we were able, watch, to behold, to look, and to see. We were able to see his glory and his nature so we could see the image of God in us again. Our greatest model of true leadership is Jesus. And we're going to have to look closely at the rising, at the leadership philosophy of Jesus. Trapped in every human spirit is a hidden leader. And everyone is searching for that dominion again. Everyone. Everyone is searching. You know why, church? Because you always look for what you lost. We're supposed to be rulers and leaders over the earth. And we need a clear understanding of what it means to have dominion, ruling, leading, influencing, governing, mastering, cultivating, protecting. All these words reflect the concept of leadership, which can be fulfilled in a variety of contexts. Influencing, church, is one of the words here for dominion. And let me tell you something I did read in the book, leadership book. The purest form of leadership is influence, watch, influence through inspiration. And inspiration is the opposite of intimidation, and it's the absence of manipulation. And the vision that we're going to give you in its fullness next week, the vision is the fuel for that inspiration. And if you're a leader and you can't inspire people, you're going to be tempted to manipulate them. And where there is manipulation, there is dictatorship and control, but not genuine leadership. True leaders never manipulate, they inspire. Dominion, influence, leadership, governing, ruling, mastering, cultivating, protecting. God created us, church, to lead, to rule, to govern, to influence the earth in conjunction with other human beings and with God's Spirit ruling our heart and being led by the Spirit of God. That's what he created us to do. There is a leader in everyone that's waiting to be released. Why is that leader waiting to be released? It's in order to display his wisdom, his character, his influence, and his glory on this earth and in the place you influence. Can somebody say amen, amen to true leadership? Come on, clap your hands and praise God this morning. We're going to continue next week with more about leadership, more on some of the practical things about leadership, and then we're going to lay out, church, our short-term and long-term vision for the rising. And you're going to know next week, when somebody asks you, what is the rising? Is that a cult? Is that something new age? You're going to know, church, next week how to answer that question, what is the rising? Can you say amen? Amen. Well, it's 10 of 1 right now. Lunch is going to begin at 1 o'clock. And to close our service, one more time, Angel's going to take us home. Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in hand.